Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Hollywood just can't help itself. Every few years, along comes a movie or a TV show with a psychiatrist prowling through the plot. A killer shrink from Hitchcock, Billy Crystal and De Niro in Analyze This, Dr. Melfi in The Sopranos. Now HBO has put therapy and therapists on the national couch in the new series In Treatment. When therapist Paul goes to therapist Gina just to talk, a taste of his own medicine is bitter stuff.
I think I better leave.
Why?
Because you twist everything into your own preconceived
notions.
Was
there physical contact?
No.
You hesitated before you answered.
Because I'm shocked at where this is going. What do you think I did? Sleep with this girl and then come here to confess to you?
Well, let's talk about it. This hour on Point, HBO's In Treatment and America's relationship with psychotherapy and the talking cure. You can join the conversation. Have you watched on your big screen? Are you catching In Treatment on the web? Is this therapy as you know it? I'm delighted to have a couple of big players from the show with us today. Joining us now from Los Angeles is actor Blair Underwood. You'll know him as the handsome guy in L.A. Law, Sex and the City, the Soderbergh movie Full Frontal, and much more. In the series In Treatment, he plays the part of Alex, a cocky, troubled Navy pilot and Iraq vet who sees the show's therapist Paul every Tuesday. Blair Underwood, thanks a lot for joining us.
Tom, thanks for having me.
Also from Los Angeles, Rodrigo Garcia. He's executive producer, director, and writer on the series. Has a long list of TV and film credits to his name, including work on The Sopranos, Big Love, and 6 Feet Under. Rodrigo Garcia, welcome to you.
Hello, Tom. Thanks for having us.
And finally joining us from Chicago is Dr. Glenn O. Gabbard. He's a professor of psychiatry and psychoanalysis at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston and a practicing real-world therapist. He's also author of 2 books on how his profession is portrayed in film and TV, The Psychology of the Sopranos and Psychiatry and the Cinema. Dr. Gabbard, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Tom.
Blair Underwood, as an actor, what was it like to be on the couch?
Well, first of all, let me say I'm so interested to talk to Dr. Gabbard because he's the real deal.
Yeah.
And his perception on all of this. But on the couch, it was a fascinating experience on so many different levels. From an acting perspective, actors don't often get a chance to work with characters that are so complex and so multi-layered in film, in television, even on stage, in the theater, yes. So that was quite interesting, but also the issues that this particular character is dealing with. He's a fighter pilot. He's a top gun. He's the best of the best in his mind. And even in society, you know, physically and mentally, he's very strong. And he wears that on his sleeves. But obviously, has a lot to deal with and a lot that he's hiding. And this, when we first meet him, he's just bombed a madrasa in Iraq, and he's killed 16 kids. He says, he will tell you that he's not dealing with any guilt whatsoever.
He's fine, yeah.
He's good. He sleeps well, but there's obviously something a lot underneath that.
Blair, let us listen to just a little bit of that, a scene from your character, Alex's first session with the therapist, Paul, played by Gabriel Byrne. He's just told the therapist about that bombing run where the target turned out to be a religious school full of children. He goes on then to second guess the therapist.
Now, so you're probably thinking, what's it like? He flew his mission. Then he flew back, and he saw the bodies of those children on CNN. And you're probably trying to figure out what went through his head. But let me tell you, after that kind of mission, I don't watch CNN. I go to sleep. I'm dead tired. And you're probably dying to ask how I can sleep nights.
Okay, How do you sleep?
I sleep very well, thank you very much. Knowing it was mission accomplished. And with great precision, let me tell you. See, I followed my orders, which were hit my target and hit it on time. Time and target.
Time and target. And pretty soon the patient's trying to run The session, Rodrigo Garcia. You've got. We even hear the clicking, the ticking of a clock in the background there. I think this is very still, just sitting, just talking. You know, no run and gun, no car chase scenes here. As a director, executive producer, writer, is that appealing to you, or is that trouble?
No, it is appealing. I mean, I think, you know, whether you're building up a bridge or having a conversation over coffee, you know, what makes drama fascinating is conflict and you know, interpersonal conflict, of course. And I think that the show is, you know, chock full of it. You know, the patients with themselves, with their friends and loved ones, and with this doctor also. And the doctor, you know, Paul Weston, played by Gabriel Byrne.
Yeah.
A lot of personal conflict and professional conflict. So it doesn't matter that they're just seated, I think. I think when it works, it's just because, you know, there's that bomb under the table, as they say.
We're going to get the doctor's view of what goes on in these therapy sessions, but there's a fascinating story behind the series itself. Rodrigo Garcia, remind us where this came from. Started out as there was an Israeli series, same premise, same format, Bay to Pool. Remind us of the format and how this jumped across to the American screen.
The series was created in Israel by Hagai Levy, a director and producer of television there, and he developed it, you know, with a team of writers and producers there in Tel Aviv. And he developed it in this format. It's 5 nights a week, so that the Monday patient is always the same patient, and then the Tuesday patient is the same Tuesday patient. So you're always coming back every week to follow up on the patient who tells us their week and what happened since last week. And then on Friday, the doctor goes to someone who used to be his mentor and supervisor and is now in a capacity to advise him and perhaps even put him through a little therapy. So the Israeli original version had this format, which is, you know, extremely demanding on writers and directors and actors. And it certainly is a great challenge to keep, you know, that amount of storytelling alive night after night. But they did it beautifully. And I saw their first 5 episodes and, you know, HBO brought it to my attention. They had already optioned it. And I was convinced that it would translate very well and easily, certainly to most, you know, Western countries.
For the American version, you've got Jake and Amy as a couple in marriage counseling here. You've got Sophie, very young teenager, as an aspiring Olympic gymnast. Laura, beautiful young doctor who's falling in love with the therapist. And then Blair Underwood's character, Alex, the Navy pilot. Were these tailor-made for the American show, or are they similar characters to what Israeli viewers saw?
They're very similar. You know, we started pretty much at the same point that they started. You know, week after week after week, we begin to diverge a little bit. And some of the, you know, many of the details and certainly the tone of the characters and you know, the tone of the sessions changes from the Israeli. And some of the outcomes are similar. Some of the outcomes at the end of the series, the destiny of some of the patients, mm-hmm. are a little different. So it's... you know, it is an adaptation, but we, you know, we've taken it and given our own spin on it. You know, our actors and our directors did not see the Israeli equivalents of the episodes that they were working on. That was on purpose. You know, we wanted everyone involved here to have, you know, their own take on the material.
Glenn Gabbard, Dr. Gabbard in Chicago, I wish you'd listen with us for a moment here as Blair Underwood's character, again, Navy pilot Alex, gets into it with Paul, Gabriel Byrne, the therapist. When Paul in the show asks if some of the pilot's issues go back to his relationship with his father, you can hear Blair as Alex working to keep control of the discussion and then the therapist reacting. We want to hear a reality check from you. Let's listen.
So something about how you describe your last moments is equated with your father seeing things in terms of profit and loss? Is that what you're saying?
With all due respect, I think we've come to this way too early. All this stuff about the father-son relationship, I don't think it should come up so soon.
You think it's too soon?
No, forget what I feel. I know it's too soon. I want to know what you think.
So you're testing me?
I think I'm entitled to some testing. I'm paying for it.
Actually, Alex, I think you've been testing me since you walked through the door. You've asked about me and my reputation. You ask? Well, you practically demand that I ask you certain questions that you think I'm dying to ask. It's really important to you, I think, that I adhere to certain standards that you set before you walk through the door.
What's wrong with that?
Blair Underwood, it sounds like you're having fun challenging the therapist there. Dr. Gabbard, what about it? Is this the real deal? He says he's paying $150 an hour. Do patients push back that way on their therapists?
Many do. And in fact, Blair's portrayal of this character is so good, I've actually used that episode with my psychiatric residents in teaching psychotherapy. Blair is a totally convincing narcissistic personality disorder when he plays Alex. And actually, the therapist does a good job of confronting that kind of control that many narcissistic patients bring to therapy.
Why do people resist? I mean, he says, forget what I feel, though presumably he's there because of what he feels. Why the resistance?
Well, this is what's so believable about it. Years ago, Freud said, one of the paradoxes of therapy is that people come for help, and once they get there, they start fighting the therapist, and they don't want help. I think going to a therapist is inherently threatening. The therapist is going to tell you things about yourself that you don't know, and he's going to take you places you may not want to visit.
Blair Underwood, had you been there in therapy yourself before, or was this a new setting for you?
Thank you for that, Dr. Gabbard. That's so good
sure.
to hear from
thank
your perspective.
You.
No, I have not, but I would in a heartbeat if I needed to.
Yeah.
You know, really quick, my mother had gone through depression a couple of years ago, and it was such a stigma to even get her to agree to see a therapist. Now, we live in Los Angeles. Most of my friends have therapists,
sure.
so it's not so much of an issue here,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's important. That's one of the things I'm most proud of with this show, that it's people are getting a glimpse inside of what it could really be like and realize it doesn't have to be as devastating or threatening as it seems to be.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about HBO's new series, In Treatment, and America's continuing fascination with psychotherapy. We're putting the show and maybe the country and what we like to watch on the couch a little bit here. Actor Blair Underwood is with us. He plays a Navy pilot and Iraq vet in the show. He's bombed a madrasa, killed 16 children. Now he's in therapy. Rodrigo Garcia is with us, executive producer, a director and writer for In Treatment, and psychiatrist Glenn Gabbard. Dr. Glenn Gabbard joins us. He's from Chicago. Let's listen to a little bit more from the show here. Here's a young gymnast, Sophie, very, very big. She's won the national competitions. But when she comes in, her arms are all wrapped up. She's had a bicycle accident. And a report from an insurance company suggesting it was an attempt at suicide. She wants the therapist, Paul, to certify that she's sane. Here she accuses Paul of being in cahoots with her mother.
I didn't speak to your mother.
You already know what it says in there.
I've never spoken to your mother.
You did talk to her, and you're just letting me sit here, and you know exactly what's in that envelope.
Was I supposed to talk to her?
What, did you, like, plan everything? Like I'm some kind of idiot. You planned this little charade. What's the point? Whatever. Of course she would send me to someone like you. I should have listened to my father. He called them a cult of crazy shit. Open the door for me, please.
And if I did speak to your mom?
I knew it.
So what then?
It means you're a liar, okay? Because I know how it's supposed to work. You're supposed to read what's written in that report and ask those stupid shrink questions you ask. Doesn't it seem unprofessional to so not do it that way? Maybe I have something to say about what it says in there.
Sophie, the young gymnast, played there Rodrigo Garcia, but remind us of the name. We're going to hear it again.
Mia Wasikowska is an Australian actress. She's terrific. She, I didn't know her. She put herself on tape when we were auditioning for this role, and she sent the tape in, and I saw it on a Monday, and she flew from Australia to L.A. on a Wednesday, and she flew back on Friday with that role.
Wow, and we can hear her there trembling with rage as she interacts with the therapist. We've got a lot of listeners already keyed in treatment. Let's go to Lisa in Brantford, Connecticut. Hi, Lisa, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah.
I am an incredible fan. I'm new to watching therapy, and first, I just want to say that Mr. Underwood's performance as Alex is so unbelievably incredible. I was so grossly uncomfortable with his first therapy session, and his portrayal of this character is unbelievably wonderful.
Why were you so uncomfortable watching the first session and more comfortable later, Lisa?
Well, I got used to his character, but
he's a tough guy.
With the therapist and trying to take over the therapy, I was so uncomfortable for the therapist. I just walked away from that episode thinking that Mr. Underwood did such an incredible job to get me to feel that way, which I hope that's the way you wanted the audience to feel.
That's great.
It was really very compelling performance.
Lisa, thanks for that. Blair Underwood, are you looking to make us all nervous out here in television land? And I wanted to ask, too, do you know the destiny, as Rodrigo Garcia says, of your character going in here? You might think you need to know how to play it or not.
Actually, no. Lisa, thank you so much for those comments. Yes, you especially with this kind of character, and Alex, you do want the audience to feel uncomfortable. And one of the traps in playing a character like that is, trying to make that person likable. And I didn't want to fall into that trap. I just wanted to be true to who he was. And Rodrigo, who directed that episode and many of the episodes, was so helpful in that. But it's important to just really put this character on this fragile pedestal, because we have such a long journey to go to, because you have to know those layers are going to fall apart week by week, but through a very resistant type character.
Glenn Gabbard, Dr. Gabbard, what about that? I mean, a real patient would, I would think, have some idea, maybe inchoate, but some idea of where they're headed, what they need to get at. If the actor doesn't, can they kind of sit on that interior problem in a way that a real patient would or not?
Well, actually, I think there's an advantage to the way Blair is approaching the character, because in therapy, you don't have a roadmap. It's more like things happen, and then the two of you try to figure out what the meaning of it was. So there is a spontaneity and one surprise after another in a typical course of psychotherapy.
Rodrigo Garcia, Nancy Franklin in The New Yorker was tough on you guys. She said, and she spoke as if she knew of what she spoke, she said, this isn't boring enough. The real therapy, you've chopped it into 30-minute sessions here, not so different from a real, perhaps a little longer one, but that the clock would tick louder, that maybe the silence is longer. What do you think?
Well, I mean, that's one of the challenges of a series. Obviously, therapy, even successful therapy, moves by dramatic standards at a snail's pace. Some of these patients, make progress, make leaps. Certainly the doctor makes leaps in two or three episodes. It might take months in therapy. So you have to, when you say the show is realistic, you're balancing, what seem to be realistic psychological conflicts and realistic situations with, the need to move forward, the need for drama. So, I it's that balance. How fast is too fast? How slow is too slow? We're balancing something realistic with something compelling.
Right, and there's drama.
Tom?
Yes, Glenn.
Can I comment on that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's fair of Nancy Franklin, really, to hold up a standard of real-life therapy when writing a critique of television drama. By its very nature, therapy is boring, and if someone put a video camera in my office and then they tried to put it on television, everybody would reach for the remote control in 10 seconds to change the channel. And one of the things that Rodrigo and his team must do is what he's talking about, a kind of balance between something that's credible and plausible, but that's dramatically riveting, that keeps the audience's attention. So a lot of what we see in treatment is plausible, but it's on the extreme end of the continuum, things that happen occasionally but not often.
And yet people are going to be watching and maybe comparing with their own experience or imagining what it might be like to be in treatment. Let's listen to a really dramatic moment here. This is where the therapist, again, Paul Weston, played by Gabriel Byrne, is meeting with Jake and Amy, a married couple arguing over maybe a lot of things, but explicitly over whether to keep the baby. Amy's pregnant after a lot of fertility work. They want Paul, at least Jake wants Paul, to help them decide. Jake, the husband's been very belligerent through the whole session and finally so gets under Paul's skin that Paul makes, I guess, what's a big mistake for a therapist. Here we go.
You haven't helped us to decide whether to have the baby or not, but you've done a great job of getting us to fight.
Well, I think what's coming out...
And we didn't come here in order to bring things out. We came here to decide whether to keep the baby or not keep it. That's all.
But it's not a yes or no answer.
Tell me, how do you sleep at night?
Well, do you think I should have problems sleeping at night?
If you were talking about a separation here, then you should lose some sleep.
But I wasn't talking about a separation.
Why are we talking about a separation?
We came here to talk about a pregnancy. And we end up talking about all these other things. Relationship. Yes, relationship. No, I'm sick of it. Yes to the pregnancy or no. To have an abortion or not have it. Just say it already. But to keep the child or don't keep it. Tell us what you think.
You want me to give you an answer
yes.
right now?
Yes. I want a yes or a no.
I think you should have an abortion.
Really?
Go ahead. Have an abortion.
Boom. The psychotherapist delivers a verdict. We'll get you on that, Dr. Gabbard, but let's listen to the way it unfolds within the series and treatment. Here's Paul, the therapist, later that same week describing this scene to his own therapist, Gina, as a professional misstep.
I have this couple who have been coming to me for marriage counseling. They have one child. They have been trying for 5 years to have another baby. So... she gets pregnant, and now she wants to have an abortion. I think what she really wants is to get rid of the husband, if you ask me. But anyway, this guy really got on my nerves yesterday. He cornered me. He badgered me until I made a decision. Should we have an abortion? Should we not have an abortion? I finally said, yes, good, have an abortion. As soon as I said it, of course, I regretted it because I knew that I'd spoken in anger, but I couldn't help it.
Gabriel Byrne there with Diane Wiest playing his therapist. We heard Josh Charles as Jake and M. Beth Davids earlier as Amy. Glenn Gabbard, mistake completely off the reservation? Should viewers look at this and expect that kind of hammer to come down from their therapist?
Well, it was a mistake. Dr. Weston acknowledged it, and therapists do make mistakes. In fact, one of the reasons we like watching Paul is he's human. He's vulnerable. He sometimes engages his mouth before his brain. Most of us do that, and patients usually forgive the therapist if their heart is in the right place.
We've got a couple of therapists on the line here. Let's go to one in Augusta, Georgia. Jarrett, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
We're all right.
I just have two things I'd like to say. One, this is definitely Hollywood playing therapy with America. Two, you can't really have a therapeutic relationship in any means when you violate confidentiality. And so it's nice to have the public becoming more aware of what therapy is. But, I mean, come on, guys. We need to have a more aware public that is informed on what real therapy is and not drama or vicariously living through other people's lives.
But does this sound so far off the kind of drama that you've seen in the therapy session, Jarrett?
I wouldn't say so far off, but I would say that it's being played up and that the actors are playing a part so that they can entice more viewing.
We'll get our guests on that, but let me get one more voice in here first from Richland, Washington. Rob is on the line. Hi, Rob. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hey, thanks so much for having this segment. I wanted to comment mainly that I think the previous caller was talking about something very important, that therapy isn't really that easily and widely understood, and I think anything that sheds a little light on it is important. I would very much want to inject another aspect, but Dr. Gabbard rightfully says that psychotherapy is something that takes training, and he endeavors to train psychiatrists to do that. Unfortunately, my experience with my psychiatric colleagues is that they get no training in that these days. They get told that psychopharmacology is the key, and in many places, that is the sole approach to treatment of psychological problems, and I think that's the opposite point this show is trying to make, which is that people have lives that really can't be resolved by taking medicines necessarily.
You're a clinical psychologist yourself, I'm reading here, Rob. Do you do talk therapy or just prescribe pills?
Well, clinical psychologists, Tom, another thing that's good, thank you for asking that question, are prohibited by law from dispensing medication. We cannot do that at this point except in very special high-need situations, like the Defense Department has cut a little slack there when they can't get psychiatrists to write meds. But in general, in most states, psychologists can't prescribe meds, and I'm very much a believer in, I wouldn't say strictly talk therapy. The coin of the realm these days is what's called cognitive psychotherapy, which is not just about talking, but it's very disciplined and structured. And actually, change can take place in much more rapid order than might be thought of in this. Dr. Edwards' comment about boring therapy can sometimes be very boring, but frequently very fast-moving as well. Go ahead.
No, I just want to thank you for those observations and get some response here from Rodrigo Garcia. Director Garcia, as you go, and writer, as you go into writing and directing this, are you just calling on the gods of drama to inform what you're doing, or are you, you know, somehow referencing the therapy community to bring some authenticity here? Do you look at it first, or maybe only as a dramatist?
Believe me, I'm calling on as many gods as I can, you know, get their attention. You know, the Israeli series was beautifully invented and beautifully created and had a great balance of what I thought, you know, what we all thought with HBO and our other executive producer, Steve Levinson, et cetera, that you know, dramatically it was wonderful, and psychologically it was also wonderful. They had a medical consultants. I think a Dr. Rani Bhatt in Tel Aviv was one of their main advisors. You know, I faced the dilemma of whether I was going to, you know, whether we're going to adapt the series and bring in another advisor to advise us here.
Yeah,
I was a little nervous that then, you know, it's hard to get two people in the same field to agree on anything.
Right.
So, you know, I spoke extensively to the Israeli creators, and we really went through their series in minute detail. Everyone who was involved in our remaking of the series, our writers, our directors, all had extensive personal histories with therapy and were very opinionated about therapy. So, you know, ultimately we went with you know, I guess fundamentally, if you go back, you know, with the Israeli doctors that advised on the series, and then, you know, again, it takes us back to the same discussion: is this therapy or is this drama? You know, we want to be as close to something real as we can, but you know, frankly, it sounds a little perverse, but I'm flattered. We all are, I think, that even the psychotherapists are disagreeing right. as to whether this is real, as to it's like, okay,
right,
fine.
Right.
You know, as long as you're watching it, go ahead and disagree.
Blair Underwood, what did you find yourself drawing on to portray the patient? We've got, you know, a long history of psychotherapy depicted in Hollywood and TV and, you know, all the way back to Spellbound and The Exorcist and Cuckoo's Nest and Prince of Tides, James Gandolfini in The Sopranos. Were those running through your head as you imagined your portrayal?
They were, and I went back and looked at some of those, but the primary focus for me as a patient was just to be that person coming in the door and deal with the human ups and downs and the emotional journey that he goes through. I didn't really have to deal with the psychoanalysis of, and you know, how credible that was, because it was all on the page, and it was just really how this person responds to what the doctor is throwing at him clinically.
Did it make you think, you know, maybe this would be useful? Maybe I'd like to do this sometime, or
yeah.
Or are we finished yet? I'm out of here.
No. Actually, I'm as I said earlier, I'm very open to it, and this being, as you say, talk therapy. It comes in handy, I think, just when people, sometimes you're not even looking for an answer. Sometimes it's important just to talk, just to vent and get it off your chest and hopefully have some kind of some guidance after that.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about HBO's new series, In Treatment, and America's continuing fascination with psychotherapy. Blair Underwood's with us. The great actor joins us from Los Angeles. He plays Alex, a Navy pilot in this series. tortured by his own bombing of a school in Iraq where children died. Rodrigo Garcia is with us, an executive producer, director, and writer on In Treatment. You've seen his work with The Sopranos, Six Feet Under, Carnival Boomtown, Nine Lives, Things You Can Tell Just by Looking at Her, and much more. Also, the professor of psychiatry and psychoanalysis at Baylor College, Glenn Gabbard. Dr. Glenn Gabbard joins us. Here's a moment. On Mondays, a young doctor named Laura comes into Paul's office, Paul Weston, played by Gabriel Byrne. Here she says she's in love with him. He's been listening as she describes her fantasies of making love to him, his face set in professional detachment, but his eyes tell you this is tough.
In the first session, I thought it'd go away. I thought it's just an infatuation, that's all. But it's getting worse. You've become the center of my life.
Laura, I'm your therapist. The parameters and the limitations are established and ethically defined. I'm not an option.
Easy to say, hard to hold the parameters. In his conversations with Blair Underwood's character, Alex, you've got a real confrontation here, too. Underwood's character keeps saying he feels no remorse about accidentally bombing the Iraqi school. Once in a while, there's a hint that it's really torturing him. Mostly, he denies feeling anything. Here, he even brags about it.
And all those people whose suffering you were responsible for, could you not see them?
No. I saw them. I felt nothing for them. And then I realized how ingenious that my body has a built-in separation mechanism.
What does that mean, separation?
Compartmentalization. I'm standing there, and all I cared about was whether I made a precise hit. The enemy is a formula. Size of building, amount of people multiplied by the amount of explosives divided by 100 equals the number of estimated casualties. You understand? I'm standing there. I don't feel anything.
Do you understand? Blair Underwood asked the psychotherapist, Laura, played there by Melissa George. David's calling right now from Cambridge, Massachusetts. David, you're on the air.
Hi there. Well, I was once a student of Glenn Gabbard's, taking some very valuable course time, so I'm interested in his comments. You know, I agree with him, there's a lot more chaff than chafing in therapy, and that, you know, serves the very compelling, dramatic method here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just listening to the piece on Laura, and I didn't see it, but it's interesting what he said. He said, well, I'm your therapist. I would have thought of maybe following that up with, as this has happened, well, then what would happen? Just suppose, let's play this out. What would happen, right? And have and use the method of having the asking questions so that the patient gives the answers and thinks that they're the genius, not the psychiatrist.
Instead of just drawing a line in the sand, Glenn Gabbard, it makes for obviously compelling TV when the beautiful young doctor is falling in love with the shrink. But what about this response as a clinical matter, doctor? Is this what you would suggest?
Well, I think my former student David learned psychotherapy very well. It's a bit heavy-handed for the therapist to say immediately, hey, this is off limits, I'm not an option, because it can convey to the patient that what you're saying is unacceptable and disgusting. It's much better to let the patient elaborate on her feelings, because it's very typical, actually, for a patient to have loving feelings for the therapist, and the therapist ought to expect it. Now, having said that, the way that the character of Paul is written, it's very clear that he's having trouble because his marriage is falling apart, and he is attracted to Laura. So that, in this sense, his response is understandable, what we call countertransference, or his own feelings getting in the way of effective technique.
David, former student of Dr. Gabbard, can you imagine that he might have been reluctant to open up a big line of questioning about this because it could come back to reflect on him if his own marriage is in trouble?
Well, not reluctant, maybe too enthralled. I think that technically the way to do it, you know, you say, well, I'm your therapist, so let's think about what would happen if we engaged in this. And then what would happen? Oh, yeah, well, then, you know, you'd end up, well, you'd have to leave your wife, and, oh, I'd be jealous of your wife, and what would happen next? And have the patient answer the question so the patient comes to the conclusion, oh, wow, what was I thinking? Rather than the therapist saying, oh, that's wrong, or here's why this is wrong. One method of therapy is to have the patient ask questions increment by increment so that the patient realizes with some foreplanning by the therapist, the patient says, oh, boy, I really figured this out for myself.
Right. Blair Underwood, what about the sort of amount of resistance, the way that Gabriel Byrne is written to and plays the therapist against your character, Alex? Did it feel like, you know, too much pushback, not enough? Your guy comes in pretty bold and strong. You're sitting there playing in his shoes. What did it feel like you wanted from the therapist character when you pushed so hard?
I think in Alex's case, he really wanted to feel control. He wanted to establish himself as the alpha dog. He wanted to establish himself as the one making the calls in that room. And it's a foreign territory to him. So, you know, whenever your back is up against the wall, and that's really what he feels like when he walks into that room, he's going to attack. And that's really Alex's way of attacking, by trying to take control.
And when the therapist kind of falls back, you're playing the military guy, the tough guy. What was the internal logic to you that he would ultimately soften in response to that, or just keep driving, Blair?
That was the logic, that the doctor would ultimately soften in that. But, you know, one thing that comes out with Alex and Paul, Gabriel's character, calls him on it is, you know, you've lived your life. Alex has lived his life being told what to do. And in a sense, really what Alex is probably asking for in his subconscious is he wants somebody else to take the lead, make the decisions for him. But he has to establish himself in his mind as being in control.
Rodrigo Garcia, yes, please.
I was just going to add something to what Blair said, that each patient has to do therapy the way they have to do it based on who they are, so that this is his character, and his resistance tells Paul Weston who he's dealing with. And so then Paul can kind of meet a tough guy with some toughness himself and try to point out the fear of losing control that Blair's character has.
Rodrigo, what did you see in Gabriel Byrne? He's the one who's sitting here constantly as you go through all 43 episodes. Blair Underwood and the other actors come in and out. Did he find himself really falling into that mindset of the therapist? He's the one constant thread here.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to go back to when we were looking to cast someone to play Paul. I mean, clearly, you know, they had to be an excellent actor. That's, you know, requirement number one. But I think, you know, what Gabriel has and what he brings to the role is, first of all, this great empathy. You know, you really feel that he's engaged with the patients, with their problems, perhaps a little more engaged than a doctor should be. Sometimes losing a little perspective and getting emotionally trapped. I think Gabriel communicates that. Someone who's very intelligent without coming across as highbrow or intellectual or superior to the patients. And I think, you know, the fact that he sustains that, I mean, that's certainly, you know, I would say the central pillar of the series. I want to go back for a moment to what that caller David mentioned regarding how to, you know, more properly deal with this declaration of love. He suggested a line of questioning that Paul does eventually come back to. I think he sort of pulls himself together in the upcoming episodes and, tries to deal with this in a little more helpful way to his patient. I think the fact that he, you know, at least dramatically for us, the fact that he came back and saying, I'm sorry, this is out of line, this is unacceptable, is, like Dr. Gabbard suggested, you know, a symptom of how close to home this is to him. You know, how dangerous, potentially dangerous, this declaration of love is to the life of the doctor.
Let's hear a little bit of how Gabriel Byrne playing Paul goes around and around with his own former therapist, who he's gone back to, Gina, played by Diane Wiest. And here's a bit from their first session after many years, where he's bridling at her questions and suggestions when he's in the kind of patient seat, and the personal and professional tensions between them keep spilling over into what becomes a therapy session.
You said, talking about your sessions, that you cut things short, you have no patience, that you often feel guilty about your behavior. Is that true also with Linda?
Laura.
Sorry, Laura.
Look, Gina, you know that patients fall for their therapist every few seconds. What better way is there to air this than to bring it to the surface and put it out there? You know, this room is supposed to be a safe zone where we can open things up and talk about things in a controlled way.
But just to make things perfectly clear, this is transference, plain and simple. Of course, you and Mitchell and your New York gang have idealized it.
You and Mitchell and your New York gang, I couldn't pick up on what that was, Rodrigo Garcia. Do we learn later, or is it a different school of thought? Or
We don't learn, and we purposely wanted to stay away from the fine print of different schools of thought and the disagreements between Paul and Gina regarding one trend or another trend. I think all this needs to do is to establish that there are disagreements between Gina and Paul. She is a more I'm not a therapist myself, but yeah. Let's say dramatically, she's a more traditional therapist who I think her approach to patients is more like she's the one with the perspective. She's an authority figure. She's the guide. She's the parental figure, as it were. And she faults Paul with being too engaged, too chummy, too caught up in his in the life of his patients. So there's mention of two or three therapists as reference along the series, yeah. But it doesn't matter. What matters is the disagreement, the way they see things differently.
Let's hear from Charlie in Springfield, Massachusetts. Charlie, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
How are you?
Very well.
I had 18 years of therapy, and my therapy was nothing like what I'm hearing on the air, because I was from the working class, and the therapist that I saw was a lawyer in the service. He was he did intelligence in the Marines. He got out. He became a psychiatrist. He was highly verbal. I was intimidated by him. But I stood with him and went through different stages of growth. The final 4 years, I would say, were, and I like this, kind of like a conversation with my dinner with Andre, which I thought was very humanizing and really helped me out.
Meaning, did you finally, a great movie and talk about great conversation, but did you feel, Charlie, you finally got across that class divide? Had it been more important in the beginning than at the end?
Well, I finally got across my being, that I was accepted for who I was, who I am, who I'm becoming, and language differences didn't matter. It's what I expressed.
18 years is really a long time. How long have you been, or are you out of it now?
Yeah, my therapist died in 1988, and after that, I closed a book on a psychiatry, in a way.
And when you look back on all those years, was that important for you?
Well, extremely important, because I found a therapist, and I stood with a therapist who actually accepted me for who I was, and gave me more possibility. And he opened himself up to me. He would often tell me about what a great father he had, and that his father was in vaudeville, and how they would go various places and do various things and meet other stars, whereas I had a very troubled relationship with my father.
Wow.
To understand that and accept it.
Yeah, and you ended up with a real conversation there. Glenn Gabbard, first off, 18 years in therapy. Does anybody get that anymore? Or we were asking earlier, is this antique now, talk therapy? Would Charlie have had a pill after 6 months or 6 weeks?
Well, actually, I think that there's a backlash against the high-tech, quick-fix mentality in the society of just writing a prescription with the fantasy that a magic pill can solve all your problems. I think the interest in shows like In Treatment suggests that there's a yearning out in the television audience of wanting to be listened to, understood, validated, some search for an authentic form of communication. And if you think about it, Tom, there's no other situation quite like therapy where someone is totally absorbed in your thoughts, your feelings, trying to understand you, And it's completely asymmetrical by design. So there will always be a lot of people who want to go to therapy and really get an in-depth understanding of themselves.
Blair, do you have a friend you can turn to sit and talk in anything like this way? I mean, you know, can you imagine Americans saying, well, I'm fine. I've got my brother, sister, friend, spouse to do something like this for me.
Well, I do. And in my case, it's my spouse and a circle of friends. But, you know, it's interesting. It's something that has not been brought up. And I, of course, am African-American. And in the African-American community, I think therapy and psychoanalysis is still very much a stigma. And I've had so many friends, other black men, come to me since they've seen the show, which is surprising to me, to say, first of all, we have never seen a black man in therapy.
Because right. oftentimes there's a new image.
It's very interesting, but historically and traditionally, our therapy is through the church. You know, that's where we get our guidance. That's
sing
where
it out, clap it out, yep.
You know, exactly, and get our guidance and just talk about it. And also there's the aspect, and pray about it. Mm-hmm. There's the aspect of, you know, not necessarily having the finances to pay for a doctor to sit down and talk to you for an hour. So it's been a very interesting journey so far. But thankfully, yes, I do have very close friends, and I do tend to talk a lot, and it's important just to talk it out.
Well, you do it, and you do it beautifully. It's been great to lift a little bit of a curtain on this show and the subject in this hour, and you know, now our time ticks down. Blair Underwood playing Alex in Treatment. Wonderful to see you whenever we get you on the screen. Great in this show, and we're really grateful to you for being with us this hour. Thanks a lot, Blair, for joining us.
Hey, Tom, thank you so much.
And Rodrigo Garcia, executive producer, director, writer with In Treatment. Congratulations on getting it up on HBO. It sounds like it's going pretty well. You've got it up at HBO.com as well for free, I understand.
Yeah, the first 3 weeks are there for free to hopefully hook people and get therapists to argue some more.
And Glenn Gabbert, off we go. This is On Point. Thanks very much.